The Adventures of Tintin by Hergé, dramatized by Simon Eastwood. 4. The Calculus Affair, Part 2.
To the editor from Tintin, Famous Boy Reporter. Subject, World Domination. Professor Calculus had perfected an ultrasonic instrument capable of destroying glass from a distance. Its potential to be developed into a deadly weapon was obvious. And so, having got wind of this, the Borgurian Secret Service had kidnapped the professor. But now, the Sildavian Secret Service, Borgiria's sworn enemies, had snatched the professor from their grasp and were heading for France by motorboat. Under a barrage of bullets and with Captain Haddock and Snowy by my side, I was in hot pursuit, piloting a helicopter through the dark of the night.
Hello! SOS! Calling the police! This is an emergency! I repeat, this is an emergency!
If I drop back now, we'll lose
the darkness.
If the bullet makes contact,
we'll
jump
over.
SB31 answering. Please identify us.
Oh, hooray! A radio ham. This is Captain Haddock. And
Marge,
now it's
not possible!
What the?
This is Charlie and Mary, part of insurance. Fly me!
Thundering typhoon, you carpet!
Another
regular game!
And cakes and biscuits, my uncle,
and
I told you to say!
It is! Now listen, Mr. Mac. You must warn the police at once. We are in a helicopter flying over Lake Geneva, and we are following a motorboat containing Professor Calculus. He has been kidnapped, Mac. And get a move on!
Push the trees to shore.
It's hidden by the trees. What are they doing? I see. They must be putting Calculus into a car. There they go. Thundering typhoon!
You should be a common titan! Anyone would think it was for real!
No! Right, I'm on the enemy, you!
The wife's calling in Cockney Exterrane! Cheers, you old rascal! I'll be round with apologies in a couple of days!
Wang! Come back!
Look, the petrol gauge is down to zero. The bullet must have pulled the tank. The only thing we can do is land on the road in front of the car and hold it to stop.
Fabulous!
Oh, no! She's firing! I've only got one chance to land.
Oh, come on, lad! You're nearly there!
Yes? Here we go. Bang! Middle of the road. Hooray!
Listering barnacles, let me out of this thing. Here they come, by thunder. We've got them now.
Here, take a gun, Captain.
Right.
Courtesy of the helicopter. They're bound to be armed.
Oh, let's hope their bite's less bad than their bark. No, that's wrong. Perhaps their less is bad than their bark.
Come on, Snowy. Action stations. Come on, Captain. Let's sort them out.
I'm right behind you.
And I'm right behind you.
What do you think you're playing?
Put your hands up.
If you insist. But may I be so bold as to ask what you want?
Calculus. Now hand him over.
Calculus? And what might that be? A plant? An animal?
You know as well as we do.
I have never heard of your candy flush.
Very funny. Now open the boot.
There. Now there's your silkins. Inside the spare wheel, I suppose.
I don't understand.
Look. Over there.
Oh, great snakes. And with military markings, too. That's where they must have put Calculus. Which means that we...
Come back, you! My God! Close your eyes!
No use, Captain. They were just a decoy. Calculus has slipped through our fingers.
Oh, Tintin, what do we do now?
Well, it was a Sildavian Air Force plane. We must go back to Geneva and take the first plane to Sildavia.
Right.
Captain, we've no time to lose.
Look, Stefan, the two foreign dogs.
You mean three foreign dogs, Stefan. Quick, we must telephone Colonel Sponge. He will be most interested.
Possible flight to Sildavia.
Two seats for Klaus, sir. Certainly. The plane leaves in 2 hours' time.
Thank you. What's the matter, Snowy? Where's the captain?
I recognize those two thugs. They're Baldurians.
There you are.
listen, Barnacles, listen to this report in the newspaper. It's incredible. A Bordurian Air Ministry communique reports that a Soldavian military aircraft has been intercepted by fighters whilst flying over Bordurian territory and forced to land.
Oh, great snakes. This changes everything. That must be the plane Calculus was in. And now he's fallen into Bordurian hands again. They never give up, do they? There was no time to lose. While I changed our tickets for Shod in Borduria, Captain Haddock telephoned home to Marley's flight. After one full start...
Good morning, can I help you?
Hello, is that you, Nesta?
No, this is Cuts the Butcher speaking. What can I do for you, sir?
A dozen sausages, please. Blistering barrels.
And then another...
Oh, it now is to be put through the wagon.
Hello, Jolien Wegg speaking.
No! That's the guy foods, I'm going mad!
Oh, Hank! Well, this is a proper lark, eh? You did not give me a lark with your helicopter chat.
What are you doing in my house, Wag, you buffoon?
Well, it turned out nice. I brought the wife for a little visit to your country seat.
Wag, put me on to Nestor immediately.
The captain finally got through, but there was bad news in store for us.
Yes, sir. All the professor's apparatus has been stolen.
What?
Including that peculiar radar dish.
Blistering barnacles, did you send for the police, Nestor?
Yes, sir. The police came this morning.
Oh, that's a relief.
Not really, sir. It was the Thompsons.
Things couldn't be worse. If it was the Bordurians who had carried out this dastardly deed, then they now had both Calculus and his equipment. Their potential to hold the world to ransom was only too obvious. We had to stop them.
Two tickets for Jean. Certainly, sir.
Bon voyage, gentlemen. We're only too delighted to give up our seats, Stefan.
Only too delighted, Stefan. There will be both of you as very special guests.
Come on, Captain. There were two last-minute cancellations to Shod. We've got a plane to catch.
So what's new?
I think I swore I'd never do this again. Well, we've made it a shot. What's next?
Cuthbert's umbrella out of my mouth before I develop a permanent grin.
I'm not sure, Captain, but I can tell you I'm relieved. I thought the airport police might have been warned about our arrival.
Oh, ye have little faith.
Stop!
What's that you were saying, Captain?
You, Captain Haddock.
Yes.
You, Tintin.
Yes.
You, Doggy. You can miss me, please. My officer won't talk to you.
Gentlemen, we of the High Command are assembled today to hear about a remarkable discovery. After protracted research, Bordurian scientists have succeeded in perfecting a weapon that will make H-bombs and ballistic missiles as obsolete as pikes and muskets. The day is not far off, gentlemen, when this weapon will make the people of Borduria and their glorious leader, ruler Kervitas...
Kervitas!
Masters of the world! Follow me, gentlemen, into the chamber.
Ah, Captain, this is a great privilege for us. We in Borduria salute you. Hear that glorious interplanetary flight. Hi!
Pleasure.
And you too, mein Herr Tintin. The ancient traditions of Bordurian hospitality demand that we ensure your absolute comfort and safety.
We're overwhelmed.
Two interpreters will therefore accompany you during your stay here. They will take you wherever you may wish to go, and at whatever time. These gentlemen, Chronic and Clumsy.
This is a happy day.
To be exact. Happy birthday.
Golly, Bordurian's answer to the Thompson twins.
Now, entirely at your service, they will take you to the Hotel Tznor, where rooms are booked for you. I wish you a pleasant stay. Ha!
Bless you.
Now, gentlemen of the High Command, I invite you to give your undivided attention to this train. Here you see on this train... Challenging the world with these gigantic skyscrapers is a great transatlantic city, capital of the enemies of Kervitas.
Kervitas!
Tavai! Comrades, at our command, this city is doomed. In a few seconds, it will be reduced to nothing more than rubble.
Hooray!
Well, we're prisoners all right, Snowy. And make no mistake about it. And if my feelings are correct, then we haven't got much time.
Well, at least I can put this umbrella down.
This might be the hotel snore's answer to a suite at the Hilton, but it doesn't make any difference. It's a gilded cage. What now?
Oh, personally, I think it makes a big difference. I'm going to have a dip in the jacuzzi.
Hello, Tintin speaking.
Blessed Barnacles, I say that at the first opportunity we ditch those two coleoptera.
Oh, you're referring to those two butterflies you caught by the lake in Geneva.
What?
They aren't coleoptera, Captain. They're lepidoptera.
Blessed Barnacles, are you seasick, man?
No, don't worry about the butterflies, Captain.
What?
Let's talk about the simply wonderful hospitality of this exquisite country. Above all, they have the, how shall I put it, their friendliness, which is entirely, friendly.
Yes, but look here, I...
Right, I'll just leave you to untangle your tongue, Captain. But don't forget, we go down to dinner in an hour.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, your enthusiasm is not misplaced. Now, one push of this button, and... You see those proud buildings swaying on their foundations. They're cracking, disintegrating, toppling and crumbling to dust. A once proud city, the heart of the evil empire, so long pitted against the glorious Kirby Tash.
Am I? Kirby Tash!
Am I? Wiped out from the face of the earth. Come on, Kirby Tash!
How can I make the captain understand that our telephone is bound to be tapped?
Call him back and tell him.
Snowy, tonight at dinner, the captain and I are going to have to deal with our hosts, chronic and clumsy.
We must keep calm, gentlemen. And above all, we must be patient. The great city which you saw disintegrating before your eyes was, for the time being, no more than... this... model of glass and china. Have faith, gentlemen. This miniature city was destroyed from a distance by the machine you see here. It is an ultrasonic instrument. Up to now, it is only effective against glass and china. But in the near future, we shall be able to destroy at long range bricks and steel. God, glory is at hand, gentlemen. And when our strikes, then the enemies of Borduria and our great ruler, Kirby Tash.
Am I?
Now, where am I?
Am I?
What? Oh, yes. Our enemies will be stricken with terror before our annihilating power.
I say, well, they are having quite a party at table 7.
That's the first bottle that orders for me.
Blistering barnacles, gentlemen. String up. Screw another bottle to get through.
I miss you. You want to make us tight, huh? You find out where is Professor Calculus is.
Don't worry about Calculus, Chronic. He'll have to shift for himself.
Yes, right. It's the Colonel Schwantz. He's the only one who knows.
Let's forget silly old Calculus. Yes, it's time for bed.
Good idea, Captain. Don't you think so, Chronic?
Absolutely. We'll escort you to your rooms immediately.
All set, Captain.
Sober as a judge, unfortunately.
The most impressive speech, Colonel. Most impressive.
Indeed, Major, talk of annihilating power has quite bit my appetite. Would you like a crepe stick? They're delicious.
Colonel Sponge, sir.
Yes?
You are wanted on telephone.
Thank you. Excuse me, Major. Am I? Hello, Colonel Sponge speaking. Oh, it's you, Leslie. What? They've escaped? They lock Chronic and Clumsy in the laundry cupboard? Fire them at once. Our guests were last seen heading for the opera? Good. I'll arrange a full security inspection.
We'll smoke them out. Tell them about it. I'll go and hear the Castor Fiore. Come on! Well, well, a night at the opera, indeed.
Dog come up, jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. It was worse than a strangled foghorn.
You're right, Phil. Oh, look, Captain, it's hopeless. The exits are stiff with policemen. They're obviously onto us. Let's try to step out through the stage door.
Right.
Right, we've made it backstage.
I'm seriously thinking of donating Cuthbert's umbrella to the props department.
Surely nothing can get in our way now.
Why, look who's here! It is Dindy!
Cousin Fiore, quick, let's give ourselves up!
Hello, my dear young friend! You have come to congratulate me with this fisherman, Mr.
Haddock! Haddock! Damn, excuse me, Haddock!
Charmin, I am sure! Now come into my dressing room!
Must we?
Yes, yes! I cannot leave my admirers in the passage! Now come along in! And you too, my little Snoopy.
Cheek.
Such a success, was it not? One of the greatest triumphs of my career. What applause. Especially for the jewel song. They were in ecstasies, were they not, Mr. Paddock?
Haddock, madam.
Oh, they will not leave me alone for a momenti. Oh, the joy. Oh, well. Come in.
Signore, it's Colonel Sponge. He wishes to pay his respects.
Something bothers.
But of course, show him in, girl. Poor Irma, such a delicate flower.
Just a minute, Signor. The Colonel... Oh, listen, I'll explain everything later, but at all costs, he mustn't find us in here.
Dio, my poor alarm in trouble. What shall we do?
Sing, that'll keep him away.
Irma?
Yes?
My poor petal. Keep the gentleman one moment, please. Now, what shall we do? Quick! In my wardrobe, my little one. Right. Behind this curtain.
Here you, Castafiore.
There. Show the Colonel in, my Irma.
Am I?
Oh, bless you, Colonel. Irma, get a tissue for the man.
I am deeply honored to find myself in the company of the celebrated diva, the voice that warms the living. Oh,
it's the dead, more like.
My Colonel, you make the madam blush.
I didn't think that was possible.
Shh, Captain.
Take the Colonel's hat and coat, Irma dear.
Signora.
Thank you.
Sure.
Nobody breathe from now on.
Right, fine.
Madam, I have reason to believe you. Colonel.
Hi. Oh, bless you. Another tissue, Irma.
We've ordered to search the opera house from top to bottom for two foreigners by the power of Curvitash.
Hi.
Dio, there must be a bug.
Is that so, you fool? I suppose you think you'll find them in here, you dunderheaded nitwit.
No, sir.
About turn before I explode.
What?
Oh, dear, I recommend you all to take the autumn lemon and the army and an early night.
Out!
Oh, such a command, Colonel, such a force. You make me feel like a delicate flower.
That must be a first.
Please excuse these numbskulls, ma'am. They're hunting for two spies.
Enemies of the great Curvitas?
Am I?
Oh, bless you. Spies? Do tell me more, Colonel. I simply adore spy stories.
Spies? A perfect lie.
Well, I shouldn't, but...
Come, you handsome brute. Tell me.
Well, it's this way. Our Secret Service have managed to invite to Bordeaux a foreign professor, originator of a sensational discovery. A secret weapon that, once perfected, will give us world supremacy.
Oh, my...
Hi. Excuse me.
Carry on, Colonel.
However, the perfecting of it depends very much on the professor. And up till now, the foreign dog...
Excuse me. I have not eaten.
Of course, madam. Up till now, the foreign dog...
No.
...has refused to give us detailed drawings of his plans. His reason? He doesn't want his invention used for warlike purposes, I ask you.
These professories.
Currently, he is imprisoned in the impregnable fortress of Bachin, and by the whiskers of Courvitage.
Am I?
Bless you. Am I? He'll stay there till he decides to surrender his plans.
I am sure, faced with a man such as yourself, you will no doubt submit in the end.
For his own sake he should, and should he come to his senses and to show that I am indeed a reasonable man, I have a signed order for his release in my coat pocket, even as we now speak.
His coat pocket, eh?
Tomorrow, he will have to choose. Either he gives up his plans and is released, or he'll never be heard of again.
But why, Colonel? Supposing he gives up his plans and you release him, what happens when he returns home to reveal all?
I've foreseen that. Ah. If we set the professor free, it will be in the presence of the International Red Cross. He'll have to declare in front of them that he came to Borduria of his own free will to offer us his plans. I have passes for these two representatives in my coat pocket also.
Is that so, Colonel?
See, oh, how clever, how brillante, how imaginative. I am sure Carvitage...
Hi.
Gesundheit would be most proud of you.
No more than he would be proud to know a woman as beautiful as you.
Beautiful, am I?
Have I? Oh, I am gossiping, and time passes. If I may dare to presume, my wife is giving a small party for some friends tonight, and it would give me great pleasure if you would agree to come just as you are and sing for us.
But of course. Irma, the colonel's coat and mine.
Yes, signora.
It would be a great honor if you would take my arm, madam.
The honor is mine. And don't forget to wrap up well, Colonel. We don't want you making that cold any worse.
Phew, they're gone.
Half time, too. Blistering bonkers.
I think we have everything we need now, Captain.
We don't have a drink.
You don't need one to join the Red Cross.
Oh, God.
Tomorrow we visit the fortress of the Bacchine. Good old Castafiore, she's handed calculus to us on our plate.
Hello, Colonel Sponge's office. Two representatives from the International Red Cross. It's quite all right, Major. I made them out myself. And the order for release, yeah. Yes, Major, that's quite all right, too. Yeah, the colonel signed it yesterday morning. Yes.
Chief is here. He sounds in good form this morning. Must go.
What's the news? Any trials of Calculus's friends?
Oh, nothing at all, Colonel. Not a sign of it.
I wonder where those two artful dodgers managed to hide.
Major Kadook just called.
Kadook, that old boy.
He wanted to know if the order you signed releasing Professor Calculus was official.
By the whiskers of Kuvitash!
Hurry!
When a document bears my signature, is it or is it not official?
Yes, Colonel, that's exactly what I told you.
You did say the order releasing Professor Calculus?
Oh, yes, Colonel.
But I have said here in my... They've been stolen! Sound the alarms! By the viscous of Kuritas! Sound the maximum alert!
Yes, Captain. It's me. And Doctor. And that's it. Riding us to safety.
Make tea, splendid idea. But Captain, you and Jimmy aged almost beyond recognition. Have I been away that long?
No, you won't go. We're in disguise as representatives of the Red Cross. Biggest joke is that Colonel Sponge himself provided the means of your escape. All we had to do was to take the papers from his coat pocket.
Like a rocket. Why, look, my umbrella. You saved the day, my umbrella, my treasured umbrella.
Oh, of course, I was keeping it for a rainy day. Who cares about your umbrella? Douglas, you're free.
I wouldn't start counting your chickens. We haven't reached the frontier yet, and if our little block is discovered before we're across.
I'm not cross, I'm ecstatic. Will you be inside my umbrella?
They're on to it.
What did I tell you? They face the alarm.
Blistering barnacles. What do we do now?
Oh, just hold the cool. Captain, yes. I'll keep the roof at the back.
Right.
When you've done that, I'll let go at the front.
Right. Yes. They're on
to it. I'm only letting the roof go. Ready? Geronimo!
Bring them. Blistering barnacles.
They're both down in the ditch.
Taking the hood off while straddling at this speed. Anyway, as I was saying, inside my umbrella. Watch carefully. I grasp the handle.
Look, the frontier! We're coming to the frontier!
The frontier!
Yeah, whatever happened to the
team? Oh, but wait. Oh, crumbs, we're cornered this time. They've set up a barricade. We can't possibly get through.
Blistering barnacles, we can't surrender now.
There's only one chance.
What?
That barn to the left of the barricade.
Yes.
If we ram the door, we might get through to the other side.
Right.
Let's hope nothing's blocking it.
Here
we go!
Oh, we've made it. We've crossed the frontier. Is everyone okay?
Oh, just about.
Never felt better.
What about you, Cuthbert?
What about my shirt? I do wish you would concentrate for the third time. I grasp the handle and unscrew it. There. And hey, Presto, what do we see?
Absolutely nothing.
The plans, they're gone. But I'm quite certain that I can't believe it.
You mean you've been barking up the wrong tree?
Doctor, just look at me. You mean you never had the plans with you anywhere? You stupid, clear-eared old goat!
No, they're not in my coat. I've checked the pockets.
You mean, cockroach, we've been through all this for absolutely no reason at all. I've had all I can take. Thundering typhoons. I'm going home. To a little peace and quiet. Wag! What are you doing in my house?
Look who's here. The Ancient Mariner himself.
Millions of blistering particles, Wag. What do you think you're playing at?
Me? Well, it turned out nice. Oh. And your little place was vacant, so I popped in for a few days. Don't worry, I've only taken the lounge. With my little brew. Back in the night.
I've gone mad. That's it. Is it?
You flaming jack in the box.
Chicken pox at your age, goodness, but that's very serious. I'll just thought of something. All that clutter in your laboratory, is it insured?
Well, very well, thank you, but I'm worried about the captain. He has chicken pox.
Chicken pox! He'd better go and live in a hen coop. Chicken pox! Chicken pox. But as infectious chicken pox is... As infected, Margaret! Now the grandmother is going
out of the way! So, Professor Calculus saved the day. Once again, peace and solitude settled over Marlin Spike Hall, with no more breaking glass or unexpected visitations. But there would be little time for fun and larks before our next adventure, the Red Sea Sharks.
The Calculus Affair, Part 2, starred Richard Pearse as Tintin, Andrew Sachs as Snowy, Lionel Jeffries as Captain Haddock, Stephen Moore as Professor Calculus, and Charles Kay as Cuts the Butcher, with Stephen Thorne as Nestor, Linda Poland as Castafiore, Melanie Hudson as Irma, and John Fleming as the Bordurian officer. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The Adventures of Tintin by Hergé are dramatized by Simon Eastwood, the music is by Roger Lim, and the program is produced by John York. Tune in next week, same network, same time.